As we could well imagine, any father would feel grief over this. The text doesn't tell us this, but if the father really loved, which I'm sure he did, then he really grieved. And when we look at the account of God's love in the Bible, we see a picture of a broken-hearted God, grieving from the beginning to the end, creating us for fellowship, creating us to walk and talk with in the garden, only to come for that fellowship and find Adam and Eve hiding behind their fig leaves of performance, their fig leaves of shame, feeling like, no longer could I be worthy of God's love. Shame came into our existence once we doubted the love of God. Shame is this feeling that no one would really love me, not really love me, if they knew what I was like. So I better let them only see the parts of me that I think are lovable. And so we learn from the youngest age to put on our fig leaves of performance and fig leaves of bravado talk and fig leaves of looking good and acting right. But inside, the fear is still there. Will they reject me when they find out I don't measure up? The Father grieves when we have turned away from His love out of shame or because we think somewhere else, somebody else, can meet that need I have in my heart. And in this story, the Father waits for this son. We don't know how long he waits. Did he wait a few weeks? Did he wait a few months? Was it a few years? However long it was until the son became hungry. The father releases him, doesn't hold him. He knows that unless the son freely chooses relationship with him, he doesn't have what he really wants, which is love. It's not duty he wants. It's not tradition. It's not keeping some commandments or attending some services or some type of spiritual exercises. It's a love relationship he wants. And so the father understands that if the only reason the son is staying at home is out of some bondage, some obligation, he might as well let him go. And as he does, this son loses everything. Loses his friends, loses his inheritance, loses his purity, loses his dignity, loses his identity, finds himself in a pig pen where he is so starving he wishes he could eat the husk that the pigs are eating. You can't get much lower than that. The husk is such an empty offer of a meal. It can be chewed on. It might even taste like food, but there's no nutritional value in it. And so, like this son, many of us, I certainly am included, have sought for food that would meet that hunger in our heart to know love, only to find out it's empty husk. No one else can meet the need we have to be loved. The Creator Himself will not allow it to happen. Others, yes, can love. Others can give affirmation. That is wonderful. But no one can meet the deepest need that would define our identity as the child loved by the Father. Only God Himself gives that to His children. And as his son is in the pig pen, he starts thinking about home, starts thinking about his father. My father's a good man, he thinks. I wonder if I could go home. Quickly, I'm sure he corrects himself. Oh, no. My father has written me out of the will. My father has disowned me. Any normal father would disown me after what I've done. But he thinks some more about his father. He's a good man. He treats his hired help good. Maybe I'll go serve him, be one of his servants. That would be a better life than living in this pig pen. The more he considers how good his father is, the more courage he gets to get up out of that place of shame in his life and head back home to the love of the Father. It's not just enough to be sorry for where we find ourselves or to to grieve over the things that have been done to us. We have to turn around. And he gets up. He says, I will arise. I will go back to my father. And he heads home. And he's preparing a speech all the way home because, again, he still does not understand the love of the father. He still thinks he has to perform. And so this speech has three little parts to it. He says, I'm going to tell my father that I've sinned against him. I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me a slave. And all the way home, I see him practicing this speech. I'm not worthy to be your son. Make me a slave. I've sinned against him. Practicing it. And then the parable says, when he's a long way off, the father sees him. The father runs to him. When he gets to him, he falls on his neck. He hugs him. He kisses him over and over and over.